If a person thinks to themselves, what is the number one cause of death in the world, right? There might be different things that come to mind. Who knows? Sickness, hunger, crime, all different things. But we know, really, Chazal tell us something different. Chazal tell us that actually the number one cause of death in the world, today and every year, is Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, right, Hashem opens up the books of life and death. And every person that is not with us any longer, unfortunately, something happened last Rosh Hashanah, right? Every Rosh Hashanah is a very serious time, which is a key determinant to what our next year is going to be like, and it has ramifications. And it has to be taken extremely, extremely seriously. It's the Yom HaDin. Chazal tell us actually what we're supposed to do. Yeah, they tell us something. Morning Rosh Hashanah, it says, what are you supposed to do? It says, Tam Licheni Aleichem. Then it says, Zichrono, so you should have a good Zikaron, a good Din. B'ma B'shofar. Yeah, and this advice is kind of strange. To make me your king. It's very weird because what does that mean? Obviously, as the sign, if anybody saw the sign over there, the title of the class was, didn't I do that yesterday? Making Hashem our king is something we do every single day of the year. We have to do it twice a day. There's a special mitzvah called Kriyat Shema, Kavol Sam Bechut Shemaim. So what exactly does this mean? Special extra kavanas in the Shema? What's going on? Another big question is that if we look at the Shulchan Aruch, it tells us that we have to come in to Rosh Hashanah not at all like a day of din. Normally it says it's coming from a medrash. The medrash tells us that when a person is coming to a king, he's being called to court, he comes in with shchorim, and he doesn't eat, and he doesn't fix up his hair, he doesn't cut his hair. Yet, it says on Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to come with simcha, we eat, levanim, with white clothes. It's a very strange thing, because is it the day of din or is it not the day of din? If it's a day of din, right, it says that we're supposed to be boteach that Hashem is going to do for us a nes. So if it's a nes, there's no din. Nesim are not din. So what happened exactly? Is there din? Is there not din? Something which we need to understand what's going on over here. Somehow Elul is the time we're supposed to be preparing for this. Everybody knows that Elul is the big time to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. What is the connection between Elul and Rosh Hashanah? It sounds like Elul, everybody knows, is Rosh Tevos Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, where we have Rosh Chodesh Elul is coming up soon. We have time to start focusing on something. We want to try to find something we can focus on really to connect to make Rosh Hashanah a proper time. Rosh Hashanah, all the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, a proper time. What are we supposed to be focusing on during Elul to make it work? Yeah. On Rosh Hashanah, we'll be reading Psukim. Before we read the shofar, every year we do this. One of the psukim is Ashrei Ha'am Yodea Trua. Happy is the nation that knows the Trua. The Trua is the shofar blast. And what does that mean? Obviously, we hear the shofar. What does it mean to know a shofar? What does it mean to know the shofar blast? It's a strange concept. It must mean something. I know the shofar. How do you know a shofar? You can know the mailman, you can know the professor, but how do you know the shofar? What does that mean? You have to know before we come into Rosh Hashanah. It says a person who knows this will be happy. How do the rabbis know that we're supposed to make God the king on Rosh Hashanah? Where do they get this from exactly? It says, make me your king, that's the advice. What do we know? If we can understand where we know this from, we'll be understand more exactly what they wanted from our lives. So Rabbeinu Bechaya, he tells us the answer, the beginning of the answer, and he says as follows, that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is actually parallels the shofar of Shavuos. It says when in Kabbalah Satorah, they heard the call of the shofar, and it's the same shofar. And he says, what was the shofar representing? The shofar was representing the beginning of God's kingship. It was the beginning of God's kingship. What is the concept of shofar with the beginning of God's kingship? I don't know. You have to know. We're going to find out, right? But right now, we already see there's a certain connection between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, that they are both representing the beginning of God's kingship. There is one of the Rishonim, his name is Rabbi Yaakov Skili. He was a big Talmud of the Rashba, and he used to give drushes every every Mincha and Shabbos, and he has a sefer called Torah Samincha, and he explains over there further that the reason why we blow the shofar on Shabbos, obviously he actually brings three different reasons why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There's many reasons, but he says as follows. He says it's supposed to remind us of the shofar that blew on Shavuos, because at that time they said Naseh V'Nishma, and because they accepted God's kingship with happiness, right, which was expressed by the shofar for some reason, which we'll have to understand why, what this means exactly, right? Therefore, we want to remember that tzchus on Rosh Hashanah. We want to remember that tzchus on Rosh Hashanah. So there's some kind of a concept of remembering the tzchus of Naseh V'Nishma, connecting to Naseh V'Nishma through the shofar. What is the idea of God's kingship? What is the concept of a king? How do you make a king? What makes a person a king? Right? So the Vilna Gaon explains that actually the word king comes from a different word. The word melech comes from a different word. Does anybody remember? Anybody know? Where does the word king come from? It's kind of a small group, so I can just ask some questions over here. What does the word king, kingship, actually mean? Excellent. Very good. Excellent. So the Vilna Gaon explains that the word king actually comes from hamlacha, which means to say, it means decision making, to make a decision. Yeah? And he explains the idea is that the king is the one who the people have to decide on. The people have to decide who their king is going to be. Right? If the people decide that he's not the king, then he's not the king. Right? With this, we can already start to understand what is the difference between every day and Rosh Hashanah. And Shavuos also, that the beginning of God's kingship requires that we make him the king. We have to want him to be the king. We want him to be the king. So at that point, we can understand that what makes it different, every day of the year, we accept that he is the king. On Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of his kingship, which is the first day of the creation of man, we're not just accepting that he is the king, we actually want him to be our king. If we don't want him to be our king, then we have failed the test of the day. So the question becomes, why should we want him to be our king? You know, why should if a person would be able to go to the beach, well, let's just say that they want to go to the beach. It's not a single beach, let's just say, or wherever you want to go, right? And or they could go to the Rosh Hashanah services, right? What we're seeing over here is that if a person would, and there would be no punishment, you could go do whatever you want. It's a free day off. Do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy, right? If the person would just go off and do whatever he wanted, and he would not wish to be there, that means that he did not get Rosh Hashanah properly, because he did not make God his king. Because if you have a kingship where the king is coming to be, say, he is coming to be the king now, if you don't want him to be the king, then he's not the king, right? And even if you accept all of his rules, but you would rather have him just take a hike and let you be alone, leave you alone, right? That's not called a king, that's called a moshel. A moshel means a ruler, right? And the avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to make God our king. And the avodah of Elul is to try to prepare ourselves to want God to be our king. Yeah, that is the connection. The question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? What are we supposed to do? Right? So everyone can only know in their own hearts. This is something which everybody in Rosh Hashanah could go through exactly the same words and exactly the same motions, and one person could be making God a king, and one person could be making God a moshel, and only the person himself is going to know. And it's very easy to know. A person just has to look in his heart and see where he is and see what he's really about. Yeah? There's an interesting Gemara that tells us that the judgment on Rosh Hashanah expresses itself in three different ways. It says everybody comes before Hashem like B'nai Maron. Now, what does B'nai Maron mean? There's three different explanations of something called B'nai Maron. One explanation is like sheep, like the sheep of a shepherd. It doesn't make a difference exactly what the connection is between the sheep. It's the sheep in this word. But it says one way is like a sheep before the shepherd. One way is like the soldiers in David's army. And one way is like there is a narrow path going up the mountain, and each person comes before Hashem individually, and Hashem checks them on this path. It's a very narrow path. Yeah? What are these three different Mishalim? What are these three different ideas? Yeah? What do they have to do with God's kingship? Anything? Anything? So the first thing we have to know is that they do have to do with God's kingship. Actually, these three different Mishalim are actually three different expressions of what God's kingship has to do with each one of us. And a person needs to try to see why he should be interested in these three things, so that when Hashem comes on Rosh Hashanah, he will want to be there. He will want to be there. Where is the first place that the Jewish people accepted God's kingship? I'm sure that a lot of you guys know. No, please. Yam Suf, right? Kriyas Yam Suf, right? It's interesting to note, right, that this particular except the Vilna Gaon says this. This is actually, it says the last pasuk of the Shir is Hashem Yimloch Olam Vaed. Hashem should be the king forever. We see that there was a certain acceptance of God's kingship over there. There were no mitzvos. What did they have? What did they get over there that made God the king? What happened? Right, so we can see, I'm sure a lot of you guys already know, this will be a little review for guys who are in my class already. We'll get to new things, don't worry. Don't give up. But the koteret, the title of Shir Shalyam, right, what does it say over there? It says, Sus v'roch v'orim avayam. Aziv is in, right? Sus v'roch v'orim, the whole horse and the rider he put into the yam, into the ocean, which is obviously, if you think about it for a minute or so, it's worth thinking about for a minute really, it's a very strange thing to say. Very strange thing to say, because Hashem, imagine, you know, the New York Yankees, they still have New York Yankees beat the somebody, there's some other team out there, I don't know who it might be. That's amazing, they beat the who knows who, right? God beat a horse. He beat a horse, right? What does that mean? He put a horse into the yam. That's very strange, right? But the understanding is that after everything they saw at Kriyas Yam Suf, what was most important to them was that he beat the horse. Why? The reason is because the job of the king is to take care of the people. Right? It says in Derech Hashem that the whole concept of kingship, the king is the one who's going to raise the people up to the greatest height. That's what the king's job is. What makes him the king is the people decide, they understand that he's the best one for the job. They want him to be their Rosh. They want him to be the one who's going to do it for them. Right? The Jews who were in Mitzrayim for so long, they understood that what was going to be who did the Mitzrim depend on? Who did they trust? Who was going to do it for them? The horse. The horse is going to raise them up. The horse of Egypt is going to raise them up and make them powerful. What's going to make them powerful? So really the fight itself was about who's got the power? Who are you going to trust in? And Hashem is telling the Mitzrim and telling the Jewish people that don't trust in the horse, yet you trust in me. I'm the one that's going to take care of you. Right? So the horse, in a certain sense, he became the target. And that's what they saw over there. The message which was supposed to be that you're supposed to trust me, right? The simcha of trusting Hashem, that is a simcha which everybody, hopefully, at some level, should be, if they don't already, right, they should be able to relate to this a little bit. Knowing that there's a certain natural pride, right? If a person is a, whatever it is, if it's a New York Yankees fan, whatever it is, walking around with a New York Yankees t-shirt, they represent something. There's something great. They see something great out there, right? God, right, when a person hears God's name, when a person thinks about God, there should be a certain feeling of he's the greatest. He's the one we're going to, it says, Elu v'rechev, these people with their chariots and these people with their horses, v'anachnu b'shem Hashem. We got a shem Hashem. I remember when the Gulf War came out, I was in Yeshiva Kotel at that time, and there was a Newsweek magazine, I don't know if they still have that, but there was a Newsweek magazine that came out at the time, and there was a picture of a big commando, and he had a big bazooka and all these guns and knives and everything, I don't know. And I saw the magazine was like laying around there, and I just held up the magazine to the class, and I said, anybody who doesn't get butterflies when they see this magazine is not a good American. It had a big American flag on it. You know, it said, the title was, this is how we're going to do it. And it had this big commando on, this is how we're going to do it. Right? So anybody, there's something called being excited about the one you trust in. Right? A Jew has to be excited about God. He's the one that's going to help us. Now, if you're not, that's a problem. So we have to think about what's the solution. So I'm going to give you guys some hopefully relatively practical solutions to work on through Elul to get this. Yeah. What we need to understand is that God's kingship means to say that Hashem is coming down here to help us. That is the idea of God's kingship. Yeah. The soldiers of David's army. Right. A second quality of God's kingship, right, is that he wants to give us the best possible good. The first quality was he's the one we trust. The second quality is he wants to bring us to the best possible place. Right? The mitzvot themselves are commandments. Right? We become extensions of God through these mitzvot, and we trust Hashem that he's not doing it, he's not getting, you know, anything special out of these mitzvot per se. He's doing it for us. He's telling us what is the best thing we have to do them. They're commandments, they're not optional. Right, but the reason why he's giving us these commandments is not for himself. He's doing it because he's got the inside information that's going to help us get ahead, right? And this is the best way that we can live our lives. It has certain effects in the upper worlds, and Hashem knows exactly what it does, but it's there for us. A person has to recognize that these mitzvos are there for us, and that's called the soldiers. We are in the army of God. There's a certain goodness. Everybody wants to do good. There's no Jew that could look around and say, I mean, in general, maybe there are some Jews out there, but nobody in this room could say they don't want to be good. Most people know they want to be good. Yeah, the mitzvos give us an opportunity to be good. The person has to see that and recognize that and understand this is what we want. Hashem has given us an opportunity. When they came at Har Sinai and they said, Naseh v'nishma, they were excited because they understood that this would be a way that they could express their essence, their good essence. Right? And therefore they wanted to do it. This is what they wanted. They wanted to know God should tell them what to do. They saw He was good and they wanted to be good. Yeah? There's a third quality of God's kingship. God is called the King of Kavod. Melech HaKavod. I'm sure you guys have all heard of this. Melech HaKavod. What does it mean God's the Melech HaKavod? What does it mean God? He's, you know, it's an interesting idea that on the one hand we find in Pirkei Avos it says you're supposed to run away from three things. Three things take a person out of the world. Taiva, Kina, and Kavod. Right? Right? And at the end of Pirkei Avos it finishes off Hashem's the King of Kavod. So is it, you know, it's funny. We're supposed to be like God, so I want to be the King of Kavod maybe. You know, why am I supposed to run away from and be like God? It's very strange. Right? So the answer is, there's two types of kavod. Chazal, if you look at Chazal, what Chazal actually say, what it means, Hashem is the King of Kavod, they say that He is mechabed the ones who fear Him. He is mechabed His servants. He wants to give the concept of God being the King of Kavod, not that He's taking the kavod, that He gives out the kavod. He gives out the kavod. Kavod itself is the reality of goodness which can be perceived in the outside world. That's what kavod is. Each person has a very specific Selam Elokim that nobody else has. Each person, the Gemara tells us, each person should say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the whole world was worth it just for me. And each person has a special gift, a special quality of godliness that nobody else in history could ever bring out. Right? That's an expression of God's kingship, that He's given each of the people in his kingship a special quality. Yeah? So Hashem judges us in all these three different ways. Right? On the one hand, He judges us how much we trust Him, right? Our needs, everything that we need, we're always, every time we pray, we're supposed to go pray, we ask Hashem for our needs. Why do we ask Hashem for our needs? Because He's our King, right? And that's the way Hashem runs His kingship, that He expects us to come ask for His needs, right? This is what He wants, yeah? The second way is doing the mitzvot, recognizing He's giving us these mitzvot. That's the second way we get judged to see if we're accepting as the King, right? Are we doing the mitzvot properly? Right? The third way is, are we bringing out that potential? Hashem's given each person a special potential, right? And each person has to develop that. Each year he has an ability to bring it out more, and every Rosh Hashanah we come before Hashem, and He judges us. Yeah, how are we doing in all three different ways over here? Yeah. There's an interesting title in this week's Parsha. Yeah, it's called Re'eh. An interesting idea, Re'eh. Yeah, it says, you should see... Yeah, see, I placed before you bracha and klala. What's the bracha to do the mitzvos? What's the klala? Yeah, if you don't do the mitzvos, yeah, what is this a mitzvah? You're supposed to know that Hashem gave us the brachas and the klalas and the brachas that comes from mitzvos come from brachas. What does it have to do with seeing exactly? What does it have to do with seeing? What does it have to do with seeing? Just to see it, right? So the answer is that actually seeing is one of the most powerful tools we have. It could be used for positive, it could be used for negative, but seeing is the key. Seeing is the key. I would like to explain to you why. Why is seeing the key and how to use this? And really, if you understand the power of seeing, you could have tremendous effects on your entire life, yeah? And certainly through Elul, you could make huge leaps in trying to incorporate these ideas into your heart. I will ask you a simple question. Yeah, there is a pasuk which everybody here knows. Yeah, it's a David Melech says. It says at the end of benching. Yeah, it says Nareisi v'gam zakanti v'lo ra'iti tzadik ne'ezav v'zar mevakesh lechem. He says I was young. I was old. Never saw the children of a tzadik whose children were looking for bread and never saw such a thing. You guys familiar with this? Yeah, right. Who's he kidding? What is he talking about? Nobody ever saw it. Never saw it. Maybe he was looking away every time. He said, I didn't see that. What's he talking about? What does that mean? It's very strange. We say it all the time, but it's a very strange thing. I mean, he lived in a certain generation where there was nobody who was suffering. There was never saw a tzaddik and his children were suffering. It's very, very weird. Yeah. So the answer is a huge Pesach to understanding ourselves and understanding everything we're supposed to be doing down here. The answer is that sight actually is tremendously affected by what is in your heart. Now, I will tell you a true story. Yeah, one time there was a young man with a number of friends broke into his high school. And in this particular high school, they had cameras all over the high school. And they took movies of the kids who broke into the high school. And they brought in a mother of one of the children who broke into the high school. And the mother was watching the movie with the principal. And the mother said, "Oh, you see? My son is lagging behind. He's afraid. He's with his friends. His friends brought him in. His friends keep telling him to come on, come on, come on. He's innocent. He was dragged into it. He didn't really mean to do anything bad." That's what she said. That's what she felt. Right? The point being that a person can see what is in their heart. If you have any father could know that sometimes their kids could do something which really is upsetting. Right? But the father could still see and say, "Mother, father," right, could still love the kid. And no, he's not a bad kid. It doesn't make a difference. He didn't mean to do it. Right? He's a great kid. That doesn't affect anything. Right? That's what they see. That's what the person sees. Because there's something in their heart which loves the child and what they see. And it could be it's even true. It could be it's even true that the kid really is a good kid. And the kid really didn't want to break into the school and he got influenced by his friends. That could be 100% true. But that's what they see. That's what they see. And they didn't have to see that. The principal didn't see that. The principal didn't want to see that, right? And it doesn't make a difference. Maybe those are the rules, right? What David HaMelech is telling us is that he never saw, ever, his entire life, a tzaddik that his child was looking for bread and was abandoned. If you look at the words, it says, "V'lo ra'iti tzaddik nezav v'zar mevakesh lechem." He could be saw a lot of zaros, a lot of children of tzaddikim asking for bread, but he never once saw that the tzaddik was nezav. It was not, one thing was 100% sure to David, it was not because the tzaddik was abandoned. Nezav means abandoned. That cannot be. That was not possible that there could be such a thing like that. It wasn't possible. It wasn't a possibility. The children are suffering. There's a bigger picture for some reason. There's a tikkun maybe that Hashem is making. There's a bigger picture. There's whatever the reason is. Maybe there was one little chet. Whatever it was, but it was for sure that it was not because Hashem abandoned him. Yeah, people live through life. It's an amazing thing. We have a mitzvah every day to accept God's kingship, to testify to His oneness. People often, you know, it's kind of like a theoretical thing. People don't see God's kingship. Oftentimes, they don't see God's kingship with us. If we look at, you know, how does God's kingship express for our lives every day? Not what I do for Him, but what He does for me. Not just, you know, how does God's kingship express in my life? Well, I can't do it, you know, I can't go out on the weekend because I got Shabbos. I got to wake up early, put on my tefillin. I got to do this, I got to do that. And that's what it is. It's a big bunch of rules. That's how the kingship expresses in my day. People don't recognize God's hand in their lives, the kingship in their lives. Yeah? It's an interesting idea. It's brought down in Chazal. The Jewish people are actually called Ivrim in addition to being the children of Avram Avinu, because they pass through Kriyas Yamsuf, they pass through the Yam. That's why they're called the Ivrim, as the Rishonim says. Yeah. Why is passing through Kriyas Yamsuf defining the name of the Jewish people? The reason is because the Emunah that they were supposed to have gotten there was the foundation of their relationship forever with Hashem. Right. The amount that Hashem is involved in our lives is stupefying. You can't even imagine how much Hashem is involved in every single one of your lives. The problem is we don't see it. We see teva. Every time, you know, you make a bracha on a piece of fruit. So the fruit came from the tree, and the tree came from the ground, and the ground came from the Big Bang. I don't know wherever it came from. Maybe there was something like Hashem like did something a long time ago to make that happen. It really doesn't have much to do with Hashem. But if you listen to what your mouth is saying, what does your mouth say? Borei praise. Melech ha'olam. Right? We're talking, Baruch atah Hashem. You are Hashem, the King of the world, who made. It doesn't say you made in the historically. Borei. Borei means, or making now. Borei creates. You're creating the fruit right now in front of my eyes. We don't see it. Why don't we see it? We choose not to see it. That's the way we've been. That's the galus. We can't see it, right? The truth is, Hashem's kingship is involved with our lives every single day. It says Hashem doesn't give the keys of parnasa to anybody else except for himself. Every Jew has very specific parnasa. Even if a person is getting a little bit through their parents, Hashem gave it to the parents to support them. And a person has to recognize that everything they're getting is coming directly from Hashem. It's coming directly from Hashem, from His kingship. When we pray to Hashem, that's what it means. It means to say that He is actively involved with our lives every single day, and He is going to affect, just like we saw when He did Kriyas Yam Suf, that's what He's going to do for us today. This is actually an idea which we do every day. Many people don't notice it. Right? It's something called being Someh Gula to Tefillah. It says a person who is Someh Gula to Tefillah is a child of the next world. What's the idea of being Someh Gula to Tefillah? Rabbeinu Yonah says that when a person can speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, speak about Kriyas Yam Suf, and recognize that Hashem is going to do the same thing for me today, right? And then they pray based on that, right? That's called a Ben Olam Haba. What does that mean? I mean, Hashem, Kriyas Yam Suf, that was very historical. It didn't happen recently. I didn't see many Yam splitting in the last, you know, couple thousand years, right? But the answer is, because Kriyas Yam Suf was just an overt, an external expression of how much Hashem wants to be involved with our lives every single day. And that's what He's doing. Right now, it is hidden. It's more hidden. Right? When the Torah tells us, Re'eh, see the mitzvah, see, I've given you the bracha and the klala, a person can see tefillin like the little black boxes that I have to stick on my head and balance on there, or they can see bracha. It depends what they want to see. A person, you can affect what you see. What you see is an expression of what is in your heart. Yeah? And you can affect what is in your heart by what you see. Yeah? There's many different ways to get information into your heart. Seeing is believing. But you can very much define what your heart wants to see if you're aware of the process that's happening. Yeah? Just the mitzvah of this week's parsha is you need to see life. You need to see what's happening over there and recognize that these mitzvahs that Hashem is giving you, these are brachas, just like if a person would be able to make some kind of an investment that he can see actually is happening in front of his eyes. And he sees he's going to make this investment every year and he gets back this much money every day. That's the mitzvah. Don't do the mitzvos al smach, complete amunah of the future that something's going to happen. See it now. See what you're doing. See that this is bracha. That should awaken you. That's something which you have an power to affect. Yeah? It is within you itself. It is within you. Each person has an neshama. Each person has a certain ability to see it like that. Yeah? Seeing it, the power of seeing is an extremely powerful tool which can affect our lives at every single level. Yeah? A Elul, right, that is the time when we're supposed to be recognizing how much everything is coming from Hashem, from His love. Yeah? Who could tell me, just quickly, who could tell me, where do we see any kind of a connection between loving Hashem, it's a very easy question, and kingship? Anybody? Come on. What do you see? What do you see?
Where?
A what? Yeah, Shema. What do you see? Just say a little bit more. You're very cryptic.
The haftas,
Hashem, right? The first thing we say is the haftas Hashem Elokecha. That is part of accepting God's kingship. The Ramchal, if you look in Derech Hashem or the Shema, you will see when he's talking about the kingship, he says the hafta. Right? That's the extension of the kingship. Why? Because we recognize that the kingship Hashem is giving us, that is an expression of His love for us. He wants to help us. He wants to help us get ahead. That's what it's about. Doesn't mean you don't have to fear the king. Once he gives us all this responsibility, there's a quality of fear also, right? But the beginning is the love. If you don't recognize Hashem's love for you, and it's all coming from Him, not because He's getting anything out of it, per se. He's getting it because He wants to help us get ahead, right? When we can get our hearts into that and recognize how much Hashem has come down to help us, yeah, you should be able to get excited. If you just think about, you know, I don't know, I once thought of a mushroom. Imagine like you had this huge like ant farm. When I was growing up, they used to have something called, I mean, I was little at that time. I think they stopped by the time I was even like, I don't know. There used to be something you could buy like out of comics and you like order an ant farm. You get this big ant farm thing. You ever heard of this? I don't know. Right? Just imagine you got this like ant farm and you decide you're going to be the king of the ant farm. I'm the king of the ant farm, right? These are lucky ants. I'm going to build them a big thing over there, right? When God comes to be our king, you have to recognize how big God is. For Him to come and be our king, It's an infinitely bigger difference than you and the ant farm. Right? Hashem is coming down here. He's connecting us to godliness. He's connecting us to the true good. Right? That really is what Rosh Hashanah is about. When we can, when we are coming, we want Him to be our King. We want Him to be our King. That is the acceptance of His kingship. The glory of the King is expressed as much as the King takes care of His people. Yeah. When Chazal tell us that, what are you supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah? You are supposed to know that Hashem is going to do for you an ace. You're supposed to know Hashem is going to do for you an ace. That itself is the acceptance of God's kingship. Know that Hashem is going to be the King, and as the King, He is going to take care of us. Yeah. The mitzvah of the day is bitachon. The mitzvah of the day is bitachon because we know that Hashem can do an ace if He wants to. Right? And as we accept His kingship, that He's going to help us because He's our King. We trust Him because He's our King. We're going to do better. Hopefully we're supposed to do better also. Right? That itself is the biggest chus. It says, like we said before, it says, Tamlicheni aleichem, want me to be your King. Choose me to be your King. What does it mean, choose me to be your King? Trust me. I'm the one that can help you. Trust me. Right? Trust me. And then it says, say zichronos. If you look at the zichronos is supposed to be an expression of the Day of Judgment. Everything in the zichronos, it only talks about Hashem sees the whole picture, Hashem looks at everything, He doesn't miss anything, right? The idea being that we are in trouble. We have a lot of big chovot on us. We have a lot of big chovot. When we come to the big judge, right, and we ask Him to help us, right, and we are excited that He's going to help us to work it out, because He's our King, and the King is there to help His people, right? That itself reveals the glory of the King. That itself reveals the glory. There's a similar idea. It says that the prayers of the Jewish people to Hashem make the crown of Hashem. How do the prayers of the Jewish people make the crown of Hashem exactly? Right? So the answer is because the crown represents the glory of the King. The crown represents the glory of the King. Right? And the glory of God as the King comes out as He helps His people. Right? Even if we don't understand exactly how our prayers were answered, every prayer has an effect. And when Hashem accepts these prayers and actually does things based on that to help the person, even if they don't exactly recognize it now, right? That itself makes a jewel in the King's crown, because we see that the person really called out to Him for help, and the King helped. That's revealing his glory. Yeah? That is the glory of the King. Yeah? When we come on Rosh Hashanah and we ask him to help us. We said, we want you to be our King. Please help us with all of our problems so we can do better next year. Right? That itself is the glory of Hashem. That's what Chazal is telling us to do, to make me your King and trust that I can help you. Yeah. What is the secret of the shofar? What does it mean, Ashrei Am Yodea Shofar? Right? The shofar, right, that is the way that we make out our King. Right? Imagine going through an airport lobby, right? And there's some kind of like music on. Not your favorite music, not you don't even like it so much, and you walk through, and you barely even hear the music. It doesn't really mean much to you. And then imagine if you're going through the same airport lobby, and your favorite song is playing. So what happens? Your heart, you know, you're in the beat, you love this is your favorite song, exactly, when you're walking through the lobby over there, your heart's moving, because something about that music resonates in your heart. Yeah? The shofar, yeah, that represents the inauguration of the King. Yeah, imagine if a person was in prison, right, and their father's a big lawyer and know their father can get them out, and suddenly they're waiting for their father to call, they're in the police station, they don't know exactly what's going to happen, and the phone rings and their heart jumps. Oh, it's dad. He's all excited. The heart jumps. They're excited. Help's on the way. It's going to be okay, right? That is what it means, Ashrei Am Yodea Trua, right? The Trua, it says Trua's Melech Bo. The Trua is Lashon of friendship, Lashon of a Re'a, Trua's Melech Bo, it's Lashon of friendship. And the idea is that we want Hashem to come as the King and help us sort it out. We want Him to help us sort it out, help us figure it out, right? And to work it out for us, right? The Jewish people, right? We are God's nation, right? We are bringing the good into the world. That's what we're doing down here. That is what our job is. When we come and we are excited about being part of God's kingship, who is representing the good, and we recognize that next year hopefully will be better. We'll try to do better. We'll try to, you know... I'm focusing on one quality of Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, a person has to know. They have to do better. It's not a joke. And they have to do better. And there's a certain time, all the time, to recognize, to re-embrace the relationship and really work on yourself and try to do better. But after having said that, right, the beginning is getting a new level of connection to the kingship itself. A new level of connection to the kingship itself means to say, embracing these mitzvos, recognizing the goodness Hashem is trying to give them through them, trusting Hashem, seeing your own special potential, and recognizing that itself is an expression of God's kingship. Right? When a person does that, and they're excited about accepting God's kingship, and they call out to Hashem for help, right, then Hashem will help them. Right? And that's the shofar. The shofar is the excitement. This is the excitement of the Nasa and Nishma. This is the excitement of Hashem is coming to bring out His kingship for the next world. Hashem does it all. He sees in one moment, He sees everybody, and the next year is set. That's it. Right? If at that moment we're excited, we want Him to be our king to work it out for us, because Allah is telling us that He will. He will help us. That will be the, that is His glory. That itself is a revelation of His glory. Right? So that's what it's about. Yeah. El is a time when we have to recognize, start seeing, if in a regular Ol Malchut Shemayim we can see Hashem's involvement in our lives more through Elul, and recognize that everything He's doing, try to figure out ways in our own life that we can relate more to Hashem's kingship, right? Then hopefully we'll be more excited about it when Rosh Hashanah comes, and we'll want God's kingship to come through. That is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Does anybody have any questions? No? Adam?
About the Borei Priya Adama, so how is it though that it's Borei? You do have the apple and it did come from a tree which came from the ground. So what part of that is tying back to that Hashem's creating right now?
Excellent question. Yeah. The answer is, yeah, as it says in Derech Hashem, I was doing my Derech Hashem class, but the answer is that Hashem is constantly, and this is part of obviously the challenge, but Hashem made a creation which He is maintaining all the time. It's not an independent system. He is always putting in power into it. Just like imagine, you know, if you would have a father who's constantly giving you something, how's he giving it to you? Say through your bank account, through your this, through your that, right? You can see it as coming as a present from your father. You can see it just through the bank account, getting it out of the cash flow, and your father's kind of far away, right? You can see it how you want. You understand what I'm saying? A child growing up, oftentimes, unfortunately, tends to treat his parents like they're kind of part of the house. He can have a relationship with them, but they kind of give him everything. They pay for his tuition. They do this, and they give him his food. They give him this. Now, from the parent's perspective, he's constantly giving. He wants a relationship. He wants the child to trust him so much. Why is it that when the parent comes and tells him to do something, he doesn't trust him even? He doesn't give you everything. I've been giving you every single thing you ever got was from me. You know, you couldn't make it a day. You should trust me completely. It's exactly the same concept as we're saying with Hashem. Hashem is giving it. The entire creation is coming directly from Hashem all the time. It's geared to us. And then it's geared to each individual by himself. Right? Just like, you wouldn't want your kid, if you would give them everything all the time, to not trust you, not to recognize this relationship you're giving them, right? So too, you know, don't do that to Hashem. That's the same thing exactly. You know what I'm saying? So this creation that Hashem made is the way that he relates to us. It's the way he relates to us. He's relating to us through the creation. Right? It is not an independent, it's not Hashem, but it doesn't exist independently either. Right? He has to give a koach. He has filled it with bracha. He's filled it with bracha, and he's filled it with everything that we need. When we receive these things that we need through it, Hashem is expecting us to recognize it's coming from Him. It's not coming randomly. It's not just happens to be there. We're so far away from that, it's almost hard to hear the words. It's so constant. Right? But that's what it is. It's just a matter of what are you going to see? You can choose to see what you want to see. The neshama, it knows. A person can get in touch. There's a koach inside of us that can know, that can understand. That, you know what I'm saying? To understand this relationship Hashem is giving us, and that's what we're expecting. That's the idea. Every day when we say the Shema, that's where the Shema, it's an interesting thing. The Shema at the beginning and the end, you guys probably know, it says a big ayin and a big dalad, which is for aid. Right? You know what I'm talking about? It says outrage. So you can't be an aid if you can't see something. You can't be an aid. You can't testify to something if you can't see it. Right, so that means the Torah is telling us there's a way we could see this a little bit. We could see it. It's in front of our face. We're so far away. It's hard to see it, but we could see it. There's something inside of us. That's what we have to do. The Torah is telling us that we have to testify in this twice a day. Then we could see it. A person can see it. And that's our job. Just like we're talking about David HaMelech before, each person has this ability. Any questions?
So I'm trying to understand how the idea of David HaMelech only seeing good regarding tzaddikim and their children applies to the second half of the pasuk, Mizarim Avakish Lachem.
It's saying I never saw an abandoned tzaddik because he was abandoned, his children were suffering. So it's saying, yeah, you might have seen the children suffering, but you never saw it because it was abandoned, because that can't be. There's no such thing as an abandoned tzaddik. That doesn't exist in this world. Understand? Because you understood the relationship with Hashem. I'll just give you one piece of advice maybe to help start the process moving. Yeah, perhaps. If you try this. There is an interesting... Hashem made the world in a way that it's supposed to work. It means, unfortunately, in the Golas, we're in the Golas of Esav right now, and we're very far away. It leaves us in a way that's very far away from relationship with Hashem, unfortunately, and it's hard to get into it. But we have to know that there are things which are really not so hard that we make them hard, and because we just don't know what to do, that makes them much harder, and we can convince ourselves they're very, very far away when they're really right under our nose, if we just take the time to plug in. I'll just give you one example which could maybe for Elul could get you started. It's just so simple, it's crazy, but you just got to do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. Okay? It goes like this. This is very simple. Yeah? God made the world in a way that if you recognize that somebody loves you, your heart will react by loving them back. You know what I'm talking about? There's a certain... It's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Kamayim alpanim lapanim kein lev adam something. It says, just like if you look in the water gives you back your reflection. So to the heart of a person, there's a certain inside. There's a certain inside relationship which happens that you can recognize if somebody loves you. In your heart, it's like throwing a ball against the wall, like bounce back at you. You can affect the heart of another person if it sends out vibrations of love. And so too, if you feel that somebody loves you, your heart will naturally start to love them by itself. You guys understand what I'm saying? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes? We're good? Okay. This is the way God made the world. As much as you recognize, right, that everything God is giving you is from love, automatically your heart will start to love God. This is Chavis Lavava says this. As much as your heart can recognize that everything that you're getting is coming from Hashem, from love, then automatically your heart will come and love Him back. There's an interesting thing, you know, in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they said, Hashem took us out because He hated us. That's what it says. We just saw it a couple weeks ago, right? Hashem took us out because He hated us. Right? This is, if they would have recognized, if they would have loved God, they would have recognized, this is what they saw. This is what they saw. This is what their hearts perceived. For some reason, they interpreted everything that Hashem was doing to them in a negative way. That was their choice. That was, for some reason, that's what they were interpreting. Right? They weren't interpreting it was coming from love. They were interpreting it the wrong way. They didn't love Hashem. And that's for whatever reason. Right? And that's where they were interpreting. What He was doing to them is the same way. If a person can just recognize, just take a moment of introspection and recognize, yeah, that what Hashem is doing to you in your regular everyday life is not coming as a result of, He's not trying to trap you. You know, He's trying to tell you, you've got to put on this to fill, and just recognize that it's coming from love. Your heart will naturally love Him back. Recognize that there's anybody in this, you know, at this, I don't know what you call it, yeshiva, college, whatever, this university is so full of bracha. You know, you have an opportunity to learn, you have a beautiful campus, everything, and just recognize that Hashem put you here because He loves you, and just think of how, you know, I'm sure there's good food and good Torah. Everything is coming. Just focus on something specific that your heart can relate to, something that your heart is happy about, not something, if you don't like learning Tosfos, don't focus on Tosfos, right? You could focus on pancakes in the morning, whatever it's going to be, something that your heart relates to, and recognize, yeah, that this is coming because Hashem really loves you. He really loves you, just like you would love your children, He also loves us, and that's the reason why He's doing all this, for no other reason, right? To the extent that you can get that in your heart will start loving Hashem back. When you can get the Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li into your heart, then your heart will be able to understand why it is Hashem is coming down and lowering Himself to be our King, right? Which is only doing for us to raise us to the highest possible levels in all these different ways, by taking care of us through His Hashgacha, and that we were compared to sheep, like we spoke about, through raising us up to the highest levels, to the mitzvos, and to the mitzvos, right? And giving each person a little tzelem elokim, makes him like God. Gives him a little tzelem elokim, each person, a little tzelem elokim, which gives him a unique quality of godliness. Right? Then a person will be able to come to Rosh Hashanah and say, yeah, I want you to be my King. I want you to be my... Ask Hashem, please, be my King. Sounds good to me. Sign me up. Yeah, that is the goal. Any kind of more questions?
So, like, just in terms of like the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. So, like, it's like what I've learned is that the judgment is based on the mice that we've done in the previous year.
Okay, it's very important over here. The Gemara tells us, and it's also above Leander Rishalmi. It says there's something called Bashir Husham. Actually, we read in the Torah itself. In the Torah itself, the whole shiur was not focusing so much on the judgment. But if you're asking, I'll just say a couple words about the judgment itself. I mean, the judgment is on how well you can make Hashem the king. Why is the judgment on how well you can make Hashem the king, by the way, as long as we're already doing the judgment a little bit more? One of the main reasons is because this is the day the man was created, and the essence of man is to make God the king. That is what the essence is of man. He's a neshama and a goof, and the neshama itself was taken from the kisei hakavod, the throne of glory. In making God the king, that's what it's about. The Gemara tells us that God on Rosh Hashanah judges man by Ashir Husham. Ashir Husham means as he is on that day, which means to say the judgment is about how much of an Adam, of the essence of Adam, can you touch. Okay? If a person had bad stuff the whole year previously, right, and he just marches through Rosh Hashanah like a dummy, just not knowing anything, he's just going through, so then that's going to... what he is on that day will be ineffective this whole previous year. So the whole previous year will get judged. Yeah. However, if on Rosh Hashanah, the person tries to connect, right, to what the essence of an Adam is, right, and he's doing a really good job, and he went beyond what his regular performance was through the whole year, then Hashem does not look at the whole year on that day. Right? It doesn't mean to say that other sins are forgiven, they're not. But the judgment of that day for the next year, right, it will not have to do with those previous actions as much as the person can be a true Adam on that day. That's called Ashir Husham. That's why we read about Yishmol, Ashir Husham, in the Pesukim in the Torah, because of that. There's a certain quality, which is it's a time of rebirth. Rosh Hashanah is a time of creation of man. And the judgment ultimately is, how is the person going to be recreated? That's what the judgment's about. There's a certain recreation that was created on the day. How's he going to be recreated? How's he going to be recreated as a new man is going to be dependent on how much he can be a true Adam. How are you going to know how much he can be a true Adam? As much as he can touch. Recognizing God's kingship. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm skipping, I'm obviously not speaking out a lot of details, but that's the idea. So there is an idea of when you can focus on accepting God's kingship properly as an expression of being a proper Adam, right? Then you could forget about the rest of the year. Start again. Hashem will make you learn through the 10 days of tshuva. That's a certain creation process which will take you to give you a new start. Relatively, it's not going to be a totally new start, but it's a relative new start. And then you'll have to work out the previous years of errors as time goes over. You have the 13 midos of rachamim to get some tshuva, get some proper that. But Rosh Hashanah itself is a time of trying to be. It's an interesting thing. There's 10 days of tshuva. There's the aseret yemei tshuva. And Rosh Hashanah, the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two of those days. We don't do any tshuva. There's no tshuva. We don't do any tshuva. But the pshat is, because tshuva itself means to return, and the idea is the beginning of the return is returning to express your real essence. It's touching, trying to get in touch with your essence. And the essence of being an Adam is the desire, to connect to the good. You have to connect to the good, and connect to God's good and bring it into the world and recognize Hashem's kingship. You understand? So that itself is called tshuva. After we connect to that positive source that's inside of us and want to accept God's kingship, because we've touched that, right, then the rest of the days we can work on trying to shut off the old stuff. Any questions?
You mentioned earlier on about being a day of Mishkat, and we wear white, yet it's Yom HaDin. Was that another expression of how the din is somehow an expression of love?
Okay, it's very important. I mean, I didn't emphasize it enough. I didn't speak it out enough, perhaps. There's the Yom HaDin. On the Yom HaDin, the beginning of the day is Yom HaDin. Din and love is two different concepts. Okay, the Torah tells us that what we should do to get ahead in the din, how are we supposed to get ahead in the din, right, is to accept God's kingship, right, and trust Him that He's going to do an ace for us. That's how we're going to be zoch in the din. When we embrace God's kingship, that is the way that we can get ahead in the din. So the trick which Chazal is telling us is the way to get through the din is by trusting Him that as our king, since we're embracing Him to be our king, He will work it out for us. Really, at a deeper level, right, the way He works it out for us is through the shofar. Right? The shofar itself moves Him from a concept called the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Rachamim, and He looks at everything different now somehow. Because we've come to Him, there's an interesting, what does the shofar do? The shofar, on the simple level, tells us we want Him to be the king. At a deeper level, it tells us, there's a lot of deeper levels, but one deeper level is that it awakens the din that we're asking Hashem to, He should be the judge. Just like if a father comes to judge his child, he can see that the Yetzer Hara did it, he really didn't mean to do it, there was a whole, it wasn't so simple, right? And when Hashem gives us His judgment, then it'll still be din. But it's a judgment of the father who could see what the real source of the problems are. It's a totally different type of din. Right? And that's what... And our vote is to trust him that he can take care of it. Our God, the King, who is our father, he can take care of it. And that's what we awaken, right, when we blow the shofar. Right? We're saying, Dad, save us. Yeah? And that's basically... That's the idea. But it is, if we don't do that, it's a very scary, I mean, it's always a very scary day. It's coming, the day of Din, but Hashem has given us a tool to help us to awaken God's koach, to help us deal with the Din. And that itself is God's kavod, is God's glory. He can do that in spite of the fact that he'll Din. Is that good enough? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's what we got to do. Shal b'zocha b'zrat Hashem, to have a chesim chesim tova. If you guys, anybody's interested, I have some papers that go through a lot more details about this and other things, and what the judgment is exactly, and what many more details on papers. If anybody wants to, just give me your email, and I can send you over a couple of few Rosh Hashanah papers about all Sidi Gilmidos, if you haven't already gotten them, if you want another copy. And Shal Bizocha B'zrat Hashem, to have a beautiful Rosh Hashanah.
How would we have gotten
them? Rav Chaim sends them out sometimes. B'zrat Hashem, Shal Bizocha, have a beautiful Rosh Hashanah, beautiful level.
What? Do you have any emails?
Yeah.
Can you forward some to me?